Text on screen, Britain 2035. Following a series of high-profile attacks on schools by students, a radical new law has been introduced. Two stern-faced guards in padded jackets and caps holding guns. The text continues, when a minor is arrested for a serious crime, parents can be charged as accessories if unable to show a stable and healthy environment when raising their child. In other words, they have to prove they are good parents. A silhouetted figure is escorted from a murky cell by one of the guards into a dimly lit white-walled corridor. A sturdy door with a tiny square window is opened, allowing the figure to pass through and up some steps. It's a man, white in a crisp black suit, a shock of white hair offsetting his tanned complexion. He's escorted into the dock of a barren courtroom, glancing round furtively as the guard leads him to it. A smattering of stubble coats the man's chin, and anxious brown eyes are hooded by heavy silver brows. The camera in a desolate holding cell shows a pale-skinned teenager in orange scrubs sitting cross-legged on a sheetless metal bed. She lifts her blue-eyed gaze, half-shrouded by a head of dark waves, to confront its lens. Now, a blonde white woman in a black skirt suit stands wearily before a scanning machine, a red sash over her shoulder.
Welcome to the Office of Judicial Inquisition.
Please stand close to the scanner. Please stand close
Ben Miles, to the scanner. Claire Skinner, Saoirse Monica Jackson.
Please remain close for taking temperature.
The woman now listlessly approaches a set of body scanners and pauses for a moment before they glow green. India Fowler, Jazz Hutchins, The Trial. Now a pale-skinned woman with a wavy, light copper-coloured bob is escorted from a gloomy cell, glancing at the guard behind her. The guard gestures the way and follows the blue-eyed woman. Written and created by Mark Burt, directed by Michael Samuels. Arriving at the dock, the woman exchanges a nervous look with the white-haired man who's been waiting there. As the guard seals them in and goes, they embrace sadly. A camera above them captures this tender moment. The blonde-haired woman standing in the doorway of the teenager's holding cell.
You look different from everyone else here. That's because I am different. Makes two of us. I'm going to be speaking with your mother and father soon. Go easy on my dad. He's a bit of a dick, but he means well. And, tell my mum, sorry I ruined the party. Anything else you wish me to pass on? Tell them this is on me.
Back in the dock.
Why else would they pull us out of the party?
Yeah, but eco-terrorism, that's a bit extreme.
What else could it be?
This is our daughter you're talking about.
Yeah, and last month, some of her Earth Warrior besties paint-bombed that NCT coffee morning, remember?
Yeah, and?
Well, and what if she decides that real bombs are more on
point? No. Tia still believes in non-violence at heart.
She also believes the Earth is completely screwed.
The couple exchange a look.
Listen, even if you're right, and I am certain you are not, I would know if things are getting out of hand.
How?
I just would, okay? Tia's always kept me in the loop. She knows I'm an ally.
Well, that's not what she called you the other day.
They spy the blonde-haired woman enter the room. Smoothing a hand over her sleek ponytail, the woman walks briskly towards the bench, removing her bag and takes a seat. Wearing a judicial wing collar, she addresses them over intercom.
Good morning. I am Judicial Inquisitor Sarah Willis. Sorry to keep you waiting.
I somehow doubt that.
David and Dion Sinclair, you are being assessed as mandated by the Mulligan Act 2033. This inquisition will seek to ascertain if the accused, Tia Grace Sinclair, was a victim of willful neglect, psychological, physical, emotional, financial, empathetic, or a combination of any of the above.
This is so incredibly offensive.
In the event that guilt is established, you will be charged pending further investigation. Any questions?
None.
No.
Judicial Inquisitor Sarah has beckoned to a guard, who escorts David and Dion from the dock and gestures to a large black onyx desk directly before it.
There.
As stony-faced Sarah leaves the bench to join them, she spies David and Dion gripping each other's hands before taking a seat at the desk. Sarah fixes a tablet to a stand opposite them.
We'd like to see Tia, please.
That isn't possible.
Well, at least tell us why she's been arrested.
I'm not at liberty to discuss that.
Look, whatever mess our daughter's got herself into, I can guarantee you she's been coerced. The girl is easily led.
Well, I won't describe Tia as easily led.
Sarah looks unamused.
What I'm trying to say is, if you don't tell us the problem, we can't fix it.
We're not here to fix it. This is an inquisition, not a boardroom negotiation. I ask questions, you will answer them.
Tia's parents shift awkwardly.
How's she doing?
Tia's doing well. Most importantly, cooperating.
Did she say anything about us?
No. Now, before we proceed, how would you prefer to be addressed?
The condemned? You know, or just Brandis?
Dion and David's fine.
Dion Sinclair has approved all access to personal cyber records.
I have nothing to hide.
I'm glad to hear it. As lying to a judicial inquisitor is an indictable offence, carrying a minimum sentence of 5 years. David Sinclair has refused access to said cyber records. A court warrant has been sought.
It's an infringement of our civil liberties.
Very well. The assessment is a two-stage procedure. Stage one is preconception. Simply put, how you met, what attracted you to each other, and why you deemed yourself child creation compatible. Stage two comprises gestation, growth, and birth, and development. Now, do you have any questions before we proceed?
No.
Yes, our daughter is a caring, confident and loving young person. Only last year, she donated her annual NHS budget to an economically challenged Glasgow family. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that kind of attitude isn't created in a vacuum.
Her expression unreadable, Sarah looks between the parents, fixing a brief smile.
Julie noted.
Dion Millicent Sinclair, Order of the British Empire, born Peckham, London, the 12th of the 6th, 1979, CEO, Idea Engineering, PLC, no cautions, arrests, civil or criminal convictions.
South London girl done well for herself.
David Peter Sinclair, born Chorlton, Manchester, the 25th of the 4th, 1979, unemployed.
David hesitates.
Part-time landscape gardener and photographer, if you don't mind.
Julie noted.
Thank you.
Arrested 3 times for trespass. 2 cautions. No formal charges or convictions. You must have an excellent lawyer.
As you're going to find out after this sideshow.
David, would you describe yourself as political?
Socialist and proud of it.
Moving on.
Aren't you forgetting someone? Women do still have the vote.
Well, being apolitical isn't relevant.
Apolitical?
As stated in your wife's OBE acceptance letter.
She displays it on a screen behind them, and David glances at his wife in surprise.
Well, I learn something new about you every day. Sorry for the interruption.
Don't apologise. She was just trying to bait you.
Sarah regards them intently.
Please describe to me when and where you first met.
Well, that would have been third year of university.
November 12, 2000.
She never forgets the date. It's uncanny.
At City University, where you studied business and economics. And you?
Media studies.
Sarah gives a faint smile.
What were your first impressions of each other?
Well, I mean, apart from the superficial.
Superficial?
Well, he thought I was drop-dead gorgeous.
And intelligent, and highly driven.
And what attracted you to David?
Well, it's good-looking, nice bum. Very cocksure of himself.
Well, I'd call it self-confidence.
Is arrogance a trait you value in others, Dion?
I value clarity of direction and purpose. In this instance, David made me feel desired. Oh, and he made me laugh, which few people have ever managed.
It was basically love at first sight for me.
He regards his wife expectantly, who just looks down. Sarah tilts her head.
And did you feel the same?
Sorry, why is this relevant?
Everything is relevant when you decide to bring another human being into this world. Unless you disagree.
Love at first sight is simply a neurotransmitter cocktail that produces something called limerence.
Sarah leans in purposefully.
Did you have sexual intercourse on that first night?
No. No, it wasn't like that for me.
Oh, come on. You would have jumped me if you were physically able. David Shishimi didn't agree with him. He wound up in A&E.
Where you stayed with me for hours and hours. You see, even back then, Dion's nurturing and compassionate nature was obvious.
She doesn't need the hard sell.
So you began a relationship?
Yes, and it was passionate. Intense and wonderful.
We were amazing.
Sarah smiles coolly.
Yet according to cyber records, you decided to end it after only 6 months, Dion?
Yeah, only because I wanted to go traveling.
Yeah, and becoming a dropout wasn't an option for me.
David looks uncomfortable and Dion instantly regretful.
Inquisitor, you requested an update.
Please excuse me. Interview paused.
15, 28 and 8 seconds.
Sarah gets up from the desk and heads to the door. Now left alone in the empty courtroom, David steels himself with a breath and turns to Dion.
Why'd you have to call me a dropout?
A fractious-looking Sarah approaches a tall black man in black police uniform in the entrance hall outside the court.
You okay?
You mentioned an update?
Yeah, the suspect asked to speak to a lawyer.
So?
One of ours.
What else?
AI scans of the girl's diary are complete and uploaded on your tablet.
About time. How'd the search of the house go?
Nothing of interest yet.
Dig up the father and the daughter's arrest reports. I'm just puzzled why CPS never made a case against them.
Yeah, that is odd. I'll look into it. So, first impressions on Mummy and Daddy?
This isn't personal.
It's always personal with you, Inquisitor.
The man, Lieutenant Simons, goes. Still sitting cross-legged in her cell, Tia glances furtively towards the door, then fiddles with her nose ring. The trial.
I just feel humiliated.
You know they're probably listening.
I don't give a shit. A husband should know his wife's politics.
Come on, you don't even know if I'm faking an orgasm.
Make a joke out of it, but I'm telling you, that woman wants us divided.
No, she wants us to lie.
Sarah returns with the tablet, offering them an opaque expression. Pausing briefly by the desk, she slots the tablet back into the stand and retakes her seat. She flashes an unnerving smile, folding her arms.
Interview resumed.
15:50 at 3 seconds.
So, in 2001, the relationship ended. When did you reconnect?
Well, that would have been...
April 2017.
Yeah.
So a year after your first husband passed away.
Why, that too soon in your book?
It's like we'd never been apart.
Sarah glances at the tablet.
I can see you have no offspring from previous relationships.
Oh, my ex and I tried, but she couldn't conceive. That's what finished us in the end.
Dion catches Sarah's inquisitive eye.
Moving on. When did you begin cohabiting?
David moved into my place May 2017.
So, almost immediately?
Well, he was basically homeless.
Well, not meth addicts homeless. I was just, you know, between addresses.
In 2017, can you remember your job title at that time?
Joint head of strategy.
Sarah brings up the information.
You were head of AI creativity?
Correct. My mistake.
Oh, one easily made, given the number of promotions over the years.
And every single one earned and then some.
I'm sure. With that said, would it be fair to say that you're career orientated?
No, I'm success orientated. There's a critical difference.
How so?
Well, you can have a long career and still achieve next to nothing.
Much like your average politician.
Or even worse, never realize your full potential.
Very well. You're success orientated. Would you still agree that your career defines you?
My career is important to me, yes. Don't worry, I know where the Inquisitor's going with this.
3 months after yet another promotion, you learn that you're pregnant.
And we're at the races.
Sarah's smile fades as Dion holds her gaze.
Was it your first pregnancy?
Third. I had 2 prior terminations.
David looks uneasy.
But surely all that matters is that we were both over the moon.
Voice note, Dion Sinclair, 11:34, May 6th, 2017.
David, where are you? This is a fucking disaster.
The subtitled message has been shown on a screen.
Am I to conclude the pregnancy wasn't planned?
Yes.
Were you on birth control?
Just ask the question.
At this early stage, did you consider a third termination?
I considered it, yes.
And I would have supported Dion in any decision she made.
Why did you opt against it?
Well, there are a number of factors.
Basically, my mother talked me around.
And that would be Ruth Majors?
Correct.
Narrowing her eyes.
In what way did your mother influence your decision?
Well, amongst other things, she believed that the baby was a gift from God.
A gift from God? Are you for real?
She was sick at that time. She'd always wanted a grandchild. She'd just received a terminal diagnosis.
Arms folded, Sarah casts an assessing gaze over David.
Am I to understand you were unaware of this fact?
Yeah, correct.
I don't see how it matters now.
Don't worry about it.
You still got what you always wanted.
David tenses his lips.
Moving on. Let's talk about your pregnancy.
I think what Dion meant was...
She knows what I meant.
Can we maybe take a break now?
No. Dion, during your pregnancy, you suffered from a condition called
hyperemesis gravidarum.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Please describe your symptoms.
Nausea, vomiting, weight loss. Perfect if you're a supermodel. Challenging if you're running a billion-dollar project.
But she got through it like the trooper she is.
Voice note, Dion Sinclair, 11:05, December 3rd, 2017.
Off to NCT class. Please kill me now. Some of the women are so buzzed to be knocked up. I feel like I'm a different species.
13:42.
Miss Overly Friendly just asked if I'm having my first. I told her, and my fucking last. Her face was hilarious.
17:43.
Fucking baby on board badges. Why? Might have one made up that says energy sucking vampire on board. David would lose it.
David smiling awkwardly.
Why would you say all that?
Because it's how I felt at the time.
According to your daughter's voice journal dated the 5th of June, you shared some of these feelings with her. Do you have any recollection of that conversation?
Hang on, you were talking about this when she was 7.
Well, she was always inquisitive, you know that.
I still should have been involved in the conversation.
Do you remember the conversation?
Well, it was a long time ago.
Sarah again touches the tablet.
Perhaps this will jog your memory.
Dear Sinclair, voice journal, 12:06, June 5th, 2025.
Mummy and I talked about her pregnancy. Sounds messed up. Can't believe she went through so much to bring me into this world.
And no doubt Dee went on to explain that Tia wasn't to blame and she shouldn't feel any form of residual guilt.
Actually, I didn't need to. I seem to remember she felt you were to blame.
She what?
Please elaborate as to why Tia felt her father was to blame.
Hang on, no, I wasn't to blame, all right?
In a nutshell, because he's a man, he produces semen and... Well, semen made me pregnant. She asked me a question. I gave her an honest answer, which is the David child-rearing philosophy, as I recall.
Yeah, even so, the fact that my sperm had been weaponized.
Trust me, no one is suggesting your penis is a weapon.
Returning to this particular conversation.
Tia Sinclair, voice journal, 12:08, June 5th, 2025.
Mummy then said that she occasionally regrets bringing a child into this world, but never regretted being my mother.
You actually said that? Fuck's sake, why don't you ring the dinner bell, Dion? You're serving us up on a plate here.
Our daughter deserved to know the truth, no matter how provocative or challenging that may be.
In my opinion, a concept challenging for a 7-year-old to take in?
No, not if the 7-year-old has an IQ.
We'll get to Tia's mental development and growth in due course.
When are you going to tell us what Tia has been accused of?
When it's relevant. Why don't we take that break now? Interview paused.
15:58 and 27 seconds.
Extracting the tablet from its holder, Sarah moves away, leaving the despondent-looking parents. The trial. In the entrance hall outside the court, her gold feather-shaped earrings gently swaying above the neckline of her green dress, Dion sips at a cup of water from a nearby cooler. Sarah approaches and, standing intimidatingly close, swipes one for herself, locking eyes with Dion as she gulps it down.
It's time to go back.
A guard ushers Dion away as Sarah drains the contents of her cup. David emerges from the toilets where Lieutenant Simons is waiting outside.
Is Tia close by? I just want to tell her, you know, everything's going to be all right.
Simons simply gestures him on, escorting him back towards the courtroom.
Your parent?
Not yet.
It's not an easy gig.
Maybe it's not supposed to be.
Dion's now sitting alone in the imposing courtroom, looking lost in thought. Bleak daylight is seeping through narrow shuttered windows above her. David's led into the room by a guard, draping his suit jacket over the back of his chair at the desk. Tia's sitting on her cell bed beside a suited woman who's handed her a tablet. Tia signs something displayed on it, then hands it back, glancing up at the camera. Now the image of a smiling baby's on the screen in the courtroom.
We loved her at first sight.
We? I thought the concept of love at first sight wasn't a real thing. Dion, you returned to work just 1 week after giving birth, leaving David to assume the role of principal care provider.
I prefer the title head of domestic operations. So it was only logical. Dee's career had reached a critical phase, and I've always felt that my child needs a stay-at-home parent.
See? We're quite old-fashioned like that.
When you returned to work, how did you find the transition?
Fairly tiring, but nothing I couldn't handle.
Any detachment, anxiety issues, postpartum depression?
If this is your way of asking whether I missed my baby, then you have to understand that my job requires a high degree of focus.
But when home, Tia received her undivided attention.
Can you please stop trying to defend me? If I was a man, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yes, we would. For the purposes of this inquisition, gender is inconsequential.
Looking at her tablet.
Year 0 to 3. Testing confirms Tia is non-neurodiverse. Year 4, Tia undergoes the Stanford BNE intelligence test, registering in the top percentile range.
Yeah, we always knew she was really bright from the get-go. You know, she potty trained.
David, trust me, she really couldn't give a shit.
3 months later, you employed the services of Dr. Claire Peters, a child psychologist. Why?
David shakes his head and falters.
Tia was having trouble sleeping.
She was having nightmares.
Don't all children?
Not like hers. Night after night, our little girl dreamt about the end of the world. Dr. Peters believed it was triggered by the Bangladesh flood disaster.
No, she said it was a possibility.
200,000 people dead in 3 days, and you allowed her to watch it on live stream.
Well, how was I to know she was going to take it so badly?
You confused intellect with emotional maturity. Did the therapy help?
Up to a point, but she wasn't the same.
Oh, Dee, come on.
It's a fact. She changed.
In what sense?
In the sense that she became obsessed with global warming and everything eco.
Obsessed is a little strong.
Well, how else would you describe a 5-year-old who refuses to fly? Or travel in any non-electric vehicle, who will only eat locally sourced foods or wear second-hand clothes?
Dion pauses, hesitating slightly.
Sounds like it was a bone of contention.
It was.
It effectively took over our lives.
Well, more my life.
Dion looks away.
It's not an accusation, I'm just stating a fact.
Returning to the conversation you had with Tia regarding your misgivings about motherhood.
You're twisting my words.
Not your words.
Tia Sinclair, voice chat.
Okay,
12:08,
I get it.
June 5th,
I get
2025.
Mummy then said that she occasionally regrets bringing a child.
It doesn't mean I didn't want her.
Whether that's true or not, some may conclude.
Some being you.
That your candidness was part and factor in formulating your daughter's worldviews.
Sarah presses play on a clip from Tia's voice journal. The image of a young girl pops up, quickly shuddering, distorted by colourful scan lines. Sarah frowns and tries again.
Would you like me to have a go?
This video was taken at a school assembly when Tia was age 9.
Oh, no, not this.
Tia, you're up next. You've got this, Tia!
The image remains garbled.
At least pretend to be interested.
Hello, my name is Tia, and this is my truth of the week. Could all non-students who consider themselves an eco-advocate please stand? Now, remain standing, please, if you have children or are in the process of producing one.
I thought she was going to talk about ethical broccoli.
You are all fakes and hypocrites. By exercising your biological imperative, you are in fact contributing to ecocide. Humans are destroying this planet, and every child born is another resource-grabbing, CO2-emitting maggot feeding on Mother Earth's twitching corpse. Thank you for your attention, and please, stop breeding immediately.
Sarah eyes Dion, who's looking down. David glances at his wife, then resignedly raises his eyebrows.
She's always been very passionate.
She was confirmed antinatalist at age 9.
As David looks down, Dion flounders.
Our daughter's entitled to her beliefs.
Sarah stares at them incredulously, then glances at the tablet, which is flashing with a notification saying code 2.
If you'll please excuse me, interview paused.
16:57:13.
Sarah meets Simons outside the courtroom.
The search team just found the burner phone in the house. Cutting edge tech, encrypted, and the girl's fingerprints all over it.
Thoughts?
Well, she's obviously more radicalized than we thought. My money's on an Earth warrior cell. Eco-terrorism are trying to crack it now.
I'm still not seeing a connection between the victim and the gear, much less a motive.
Yeah, well, counter-terrorism couldn't give a shit. They're ready to step in.
It's like the dad said. Attitudes aren't born in a vacuum.
You've really got it in for those two.
She looks away.
Have you eaten today, Sarah?
I'll grab something later.
He hands her what looks like a snack bar.
And I even get a thank you?
She looks round, then kisses him. They briefly lock eyes. Then she goes, glancing back at him with a coy smile as they part ways. Now back in the courtroom, she heads to the desk, where the parents are waiting apprehensively. She returns the tablet to its stand and takes a seat.
Interview resume.
17, 11 and 9 seconds.
Age 11 to 14, Tia excels at school, setting her GCSEs 2 years early, obtaining
the highest grades in all 12 subjects.
And then the wheels fell off. Trust me, that's where Inquisitor Willis is heading now, am I right?
Tia then joined the extreme eco-action group, the Earth Warriors. This is followed by 5 cautions for trespass, aggravated trespass, obstructing a police officer, criminal damage, and a fray within 16 months.
But no actual convictions.
Indeed, just like yourself.
I'd argue no crime was committed in the first place. Tia was fighting to ensure the planet's survival. Well, someone has to defend her.
You think you're defending Tia? Yeah. You went on some of those demos and got your collar felt, but come on, let's be honest. You only did it to have something to talk about at those god-awful meat-free, alcohol-free, gluten-free dinner parties with your wanky friends.
She doesn't have to hear all this.
No, but you do. While you were jumping on the eco bandwagon, the Tia I knew was fading away, and you were too busy playing Dad of the Year to even notice.
Yeah, at least I was present.
Sarah watches them.
Which brings us to the now and yesterday's incident.
What fucking incident? What has Tia done now?
Allegedly.
During a search of your premises, we found a mobile device. Very specialised and illegal to own without a licence.
I'm sorry, but what the hell has that got to do with our daughter?
David sits back, looking uneasy.
Would you like to tell your wife or shall I?
Tell me what? What the fuck is she on about, David? Don't look at her, I asked you the question.
David glances at Dion, then returns his gaze to Sarah, who regards him with vague expectancy.
I'm a police informant.
Is this some kind of sick joke? He's arresting landscape gardener, for God's sake.
For the past 2 years, David has been acting as an intelligence resource for our security services.
Oh, intelligence resource.
It's come to light when a breach on the device's security alerted his handler.
Your handler, son.
Just please don't even try to mansplain, or I've got...
If I ain't cooperated, they'd have locked Tia up.
And what exactly did this cooperation entail?
I provided certain information from time to time.
What kind of information?
Meetings, dates of demos, that kind of thing.
So Tia's friends, the ones who were arrested...
Not with them or Tia.
Dion takes this in, drawing her hand across her brow.
It appears your husband has proved to be an invaluable intelligence tool.
Yeah, tool being the operative word.
Hence the leniency shown towards your daughter.
Yeah, I'll get Tia out of this just like I always have.
I'm afraid there's no more deals to be had.
You consoled Joe and Lexi when Mika trashed that fertility clinic.
I had to maintain my cover.
Oh, my. Your cover? God, can you even hear yourself sometimes?
I was protecting our baby.
No, you were enabling her. Perhaps
Perhaps if she'd been arrested and punished 2 years ago, we wouldn't be here now.
Well, excuse me for not wanting our only child to be tossed into the fucking meat grinder.
Oh, my God, this is unreal. You've never stuck at anything your whole life, and now, suddenly, you're a fucking spy. I mean, how does that even happen?
Maybe I finally achieved my full potential.
Apparently, you weren't as successful at covering your tracks as you thought.
What are you talking about?
According to intercepts from your handler, you've been under suspicion with Earth Warriors themselves for over a month. Your local committee even asked your daughter to spy on you, which explains why we found her fingerprints on the device.
Yeah, and why she had that meltdown, why she called you a traitor.
When did this meltdown happen?
Oh, it was 2 nights ago. She left the house to stay with some friends. She couldn't even look at David. I'd never seen her so upset.
Oh, you're loving this, aren't you?
Checking the tablet.
According to this, the timeline doesn't correlate. Tia found the device over 3 weeks ago.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Then 2 days ago, it appears Tia was instructed to surveil you.
The same day.
And according to this, not only did Tia follow you, she tracked your whereabouts. Bear with me, I'm just getting this through in real time. 10:30 a.m. Dad visits the Bell Cafe. 11:30, Harbour Gym and Spa.
Well, I was having a facial.
Since when do you have facials?
David stares at Sarah with a fearful expression.
16:05. 12 Maple Close, Clapton.
Dion's brow furrows with confusion, and she blinks rapidly. Sarah holds Ben's troubled gaze. Then...
Lieutenant, please come in.
Yes, Inquisitor.
What's at 12 Maple Close? David, please answer me. What's at 12 Maple Close, Clapton?
Not what, who?
Simons has joined them.
Aurora Muller?
She tilts her head assertively at David.
The woman your husband's been having an affair with.
And who your daughter tried to murder yesterday.
David and Dion look stunned. The trial. Tia's sitting on her bed in her cell, seemingly scrawling something into the metal bed frame. She addresses the camera.
I'd like to see my mum and dad now, please.
Miss Miller suffered a minor wound to the shoulder before restraining your daughter. Turns out, as well as being a yoga teacher, she's also a mixed martial arts expert.
You're fucking a yoga teacher. Could you be a bigger cliche?
How are they doing?
Yeah, of course she'd be gender neutral.
Both mother and baby are fine.
Dion turns to her husband in shocked realization.
Baby.
Miss Muller is 7 months pregnant.
David's hands are covering his face.
My God, you finally knocked out the second child. Oh, God, well, I hope it was worth it, you fucking useless fucking waste of oxygen!
Sorry to interrupt. Your daughter's asking to see you.
Now, Dion's hugging a blank-faced Tia. Gently breaking their embrace, Tia wanders over to her dad, who embraces her tightly. Simons moves her to the desk.
Come on.
Dion moves to follow them.
Tia.
That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Sit down, please.
All right.
They all sit at the desk.
Tia, don't say another word until we've got a lawyer. I'm locking this down.
Tia shakes her head.
I've already confessed.
You've done what?
No. Wait, she's made a mistake.
A mistake?
Guys, relax. It's okay.
Nothing about this is okay. What have you done to her?
I could say the same to you.
I know what I'm doing.
No, you just think you do.
Tia, you're unwell.
Actually, I've never felt more centered.
But they're saying that you tried to kill your dad's...
No, I didn't. I didn't try to kill anyone.
I tried to liberate the poor parasite inside her womb. There's a difference. One is murder, mine, it was an act of mercy.
You don't mean that. She can't possibly mean that.
Oh, Dad, I'm not being horrible, Dad, but you've never got me. All the cause. To bring another child into this broken world, it's beyond wrong. I shouldn't have called you a traitor the other night. A traitor betrays something they believe in, but you're just a tourist.
Tia's pleaded guilty to attempted child destruction.
No.
The baby's fine.
It doesn't matter. The act alone still carries a life sentence.
Please say that isn't
you
true.
You coerced her into this. Right, we're going to get the best lawyers in the country. We need to think about damage limitation now,
too. What I did was damage limitation, Mum.
Did they use us to try and threaten you?
No. Mum, okay, it's nothing to do with you. None of this has anything to do with you or Dad, okay? Like I told the Inquisitor earlier, this is on me.
David and Dion falter desperately. Tia, the green hue in her dark waves now evident, glances at Simons.
I'd like to go now. Don't hate on each other too much. I'll let you fill them in on the rest.
Tia.
Tia. Tia.
Tia.
Tia, wait.
Tia.
Tia.
Please, no, Tia.
I love you, Tia.
No, please don't do this.
We love you.
No.
You can't.
Please.
We love you.
So prove it. Let me finally find peace. No, Tia!
Don't do this, please!
Tia!
Tia!
No!
Fuck off.
With Tia now gone, the distraught parents are pulled back into their seats.
What's going to happen to her now?
Tia's requested she serve her sentence in punitive coma.
No, we won't allow that.
No, that's barbaric.
We won't
Actually,
allow that.
Tia felt it was a blessing. Not to have to watch the world die in front of her. Either way, it's an option that won't be afforded to either of you.
David stares at Sarah.
An option? What do you mean? I don't understand.
Sarah looks between them.
Dion Sinclair, David Sinclair. You are hereby charged with gross psychological, emotional, and empathetic neglect of a minor. You will be remanded into custody pending prosecution as sanctioned by the Mulligan Act of 2030.
A tense David and Dion have been led by guards towards a cell. In Tia's now empty cell, Simons locates a scalpel on her bed. As he picks it up, his eyes fall on the message she's scrawled on the bedframe. So long, and thanks for all the fish. Now in the entrance hall outside the courtroom, Sarah's eyes are lingering on the image of Tia as a happy baby on her tablet. Simons approaches.
She looks so beautiful, so perfect. She left us some graffiti. So long and thanks for all the fish. What does that mean?
It's a line from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's the dolphin's final message to humanity when they realize the Earth was doomed to destruction.
Looking up at him, she nods, smiling sadly. He gazes at her, then slowly brings his hand towards her belly.
What if?
We'll do better, my love. We'll do better.
She nods reassuringly as he smiles. But as she turns away, her face betrays a hint of doubt.